You guys have a number of tools this summer, including the big trade exception. Do you expect ownership to give you the okay to use those? And how much do you expect them to be willing to spend this summer to help the team?
Yeah, we've got the okay to do whatever we need to do.
Pretty straight answer from President of Basketball Operations, Brad Stevens. We have the okay to do whatever we need to do. That's what Stevens said when asked about the support of ownership as the Celtics entered this offseason. So I'll tell you what, let's go right to the horse. We'll go right to the horse, which is Wick. We'll go Wick Grousbeck, who joins us now via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I always forget, Wick. I want to say owner of the Celtics, but it's governor of the Boston Celtics. Is that correct?
Well, I'll go with horse. I'm good with that.
Okay, all right. We'll go with the lead horse of the Boston Celtics. How about that? So,
yeah, perfect.
Before we get to, first of all, thank you for joining us. But before we get to the luxury tax and all that other stuff, I do want to ask you, pretty simply. Many people in this area are conflicted by how this end of the season went. In other words, I think a lot of fans, Wick, are thrilled that the team took a major step, and in the same breath, devastated that the team ultimately lost in the finals. Do you feel the same way?
I do. That's a great way to put it. I mean, we were two steps from the top of Mount Everest, and we fell off or got pushed off. We had the lead in the finals twice, 1-0 and 2-1, and we ended up losing. They did a good job. They beat us. I feel like, really excited, proud, happy to be part of it with this team. I told them in the locker room after, just brief comment, I said, of the 20 teams I've had, this might be my favorite one or one of the top couple. You guys are great. The future can be ours, but it's devastating to not get all the way. It would have been amazing to get there, and we were in the lead, and then we lost it.
Did you find the season, like, personally vindicating, though, in a sense, when it comes to, I guess, upper management and then the coach, when this time last year, some people, this show, were questioning the decision to elevate Brad Stevens to, president of basketball ops and hiring Ime Udoka? Is there a part of you that wants to say, like, told you?
No, because I think I'm used to when I make decisions like that, or we, but, I pitched Brad on getting promoted. He didn't pitch me. It was the other way around. And then we hired Ime together, and Ime really stood out, I thought. So, those were decisions I was very comfortable with at the time. That doesn't mean they always work out, but I'm thrilled with how they worked out. I'm just going to say that. I mean, I don't need to put anything in anybody's face. We're a work in progress still, but I'm happy with how I'm thrilled to have those two guys in those positions and really glad that they're here.
So, Wick, let's go back just a bit here to the middle of the season, because after 39 games, you guys were 18-21. The trading deadline was approaching, and this thing literally spun on its heel and completely took off in the other direction. I was surprised. I think many people were surprised. Did that dramatic a jump at all surprise you?
100%, and I think I've said that, but here's what we specifically said at the trade deadline was this is not a blow it up scenario. First of all, last summer people were saying, is this a rebuild? I think you guys have said, are you guys rebuilding? It's not a rebuild. And so it came out, Celtics owner claims it's not a rebuild. Well, we kept the core and added around the edge, but we thought the core was good. So it clearly wasn't a rebuild, but it wasn't going that great halfway through. Still think we have the core, have the new GM, the new coach, hope it works better than sub 500. And then it all came together. But at the trade deadline, we said, let's add, bring in Derek White, multi-year contracts, send out assets for him, future picks, so we're clearly building at the trade deadline as opposed to saying the heck with it. We're hoping for a turnaround or a better second half. And then it went better than probably anybody could have reasonably expected. It went great. And we almost got there. So now we got to keep everybody's attitude and mojo. Everybody's got to get their rest for probably a month, the players, and then come back even stronger, and we'll see what happens.
So the Wick, the turnaround actually started before the deadline, right? I mean, I think said that you then decided to add. Was there anything that you think was critical to the turnaround?
Well, I just feel like I think Ime's influence and connection with the core. So he had coached them before as an assistant on Team USA. And then he comes out of the Popovich tree, and then he knows Derek White. But I mean, I think the connection and respect that he built from the beginning with the vets and with Jalen, Jason, and Marcus, who had been on Team USA. I mean, I think he came in with all those possibilities, and then it just took a while to really gel together. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Then it was a season of like progression and growth, I guess. So there was it started slowly and it got better, and then it got like dramatically better. So it's going the right direction.
Many of us look back at a major point in the season when Marcus Smart had some criticism early in the year of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I know the team didn't really get going, as we illustrated, until a little after that, but that's been pointed to as a turning point
right.
by some of the players and the locker room all kind of getting on the same page. How did you view those at the time? And I don't know, did you have some of the same reactions we did, where we kind of cringed a little bit for comments that actually may have turned out to be for the better of the team?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to probably make of the comments at the time, but I when I'm sitting either at a game or if I'm not there sitting on the couch, whatever, watching the game, I mean, I have comments in my own mind, right? We all do as fans. And so I don't have any specific thing to say about Marcus's comments, except I know one thing about Marcus, Jalen, Jason, Al, Rob, Derek. You know, everybody's just sitting there going, how do we win the next game? How do we do better? How do we get the Celtics, you know, to hang another banner someday? I mean, that really is at the bottom of it for all these guys. And Marcus is, you know, head of that class. He cares about how the team does, obviously. He gives everything. And everybody joined him. I don't know if, you know, what he said was necessary, not necessarily. You know, that's something to talk to the players about. But I will tell you, I like the spirit that everybody showed as we got past our playoff opponents.
So, Wick, let's now let's jump ahead now and get to the business coming forward. And again, we just played a cut coming back from the break there where Brad Stevens was asked, you know, have you gone to ownership and asked them, you know, what kind of support you'll get? And he says, yeah, we can get whatever we want. So the team has been under the luxury tax now for some time. I read today since 2011, I think, was the last time. But you have also said that when the team gets to where you believed it was championship caliber and championships were very much in play, that you would go over the luxury tax. So are we correct in assuming that you will do so now?
Yeah, I mean, bringing people back is not even close. But here's the point. It's never, ever been business at the Celtics. People can say what they want, think what they want, free country, and no problem. But the reason that we bought the Celtics in the first place, and I got 20 guys together to do it, so that we could, vindicate, try to take care of this great thing, much bigger than any of us, that truly great people put together. And before us. And so we're just trying to do everything we can for the Celtics. It's been that way since 2003. And there's no question. So whatever needs to be done, can be done, can possibly be done. I've had 4 different in-person meetings and conversations with Brad and Ime in the last 4 days. And it's been, let's go. And that's the way it'll be for as long as we got, you know, a team that can compete. And so we are really excited and can't wait to see what happens.
Would you want to see changes to the salary structure and tax penalties in the league? I mean, I feel like, I mean, this is pie in the sky, but like drafting players like Tatum, Brown, Smart, Rob Williams, I think that should be a credit to an organization and not a penalty.
It's a great thing that we drafted them and we're really happy with that. In terms of the structures of the league, that's a labor conversation. I'm on the Labor Relations Committee. We're actually in process of, you know, discussions, but we can't comment on that specific stuff. So
okay,
Wick, the
I just can't do it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. The we were discussing this at the end of last week, that if you look at the Golden State model, Wick, they have like extraordinary resources invested in that team, historically high. To the point where when you add in the tax money, their payroll, the cost of putting the team on the floor is somewhere approaching $340 or $350 million. And look, I'm not saying you're necessarily going to that area, but you have young players, some of whom are going to start coming up again for extensions. I think Jalen Brown's actually eligible to be engaged on an extension at the end in October or something of this year. But given that they are your own players, the cost could get really excessive over the course of time. Should Golden State be held up as a model in the league, or are they an aberration?
Let me just talk about us, which is that we are going to do everything we can to get Banner 18 up there. People know us and know me for 20 years, and it will continue, and we'll try to get another one up there. And so we're going to work, you know, within the rules and not break the rules. And we are going to, our first priority is winning. You got to put a roster together that's got youth and expertise, or, you know, youth and experience. A little younger with juice and energy, a little older with veteran, you know, savvy, you know, is one good model. But accumulate, you know, you need your top eight guys, nine guys in the playoffs to take you all the way and make sure your top nine is there. And we're going to make that the strongest top nine we can possibly make it. That's really, it's what Ime and Brad and everybody have agreed to, and that's what we're going to do.
One of the issues with getting to a championship game and not closing on winning the title is it can tend to leave a mark. Teams can struggle to get back. How will you attempt to fight that complacency or whatever it is that can set in with some of these teams that almost get to the mountaintop and then struggle to get back there?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, the guys have to find it within themselves with the hunger. I know, I know what I've seen and what I believe is going to happen, but that's, it, you know, we need to, it needs to happen. But I take some comfort in, I mean, reading the graphics on the screen, you know, when in the game commentary, when it says, you know, the first NBA championship for MJ, Kobe, and others at certain ages, you know, and, you know, our guys are younger. But we can't keep harping that our guys are younger. We just need to go win the thing. And we almost did it. I mean, we were in the mix. We got beaten. I was meeting with basketball Friday morning at 8 a.m. Out in Brighton. So, Thursday night was the game, and Friday morning at 8 was our first meeting. So, I mean, we're trying to turn the page and just build. And, I have a lot of confidence in these guys. The character of this team is very, very strong, and the desire is strong. We love the roster. Nobody wants to – we want to tweak it as opposed to blow it up, obviously. So we're going to see if there's any tweaks that make sense.
When you a couple of times when you've referred to the finals, you said they beat us. Is there any part of you that feels like you beat yourselves?
Well, I'll beat myself up about anything. But, no, I feel like we brought a lot. We might have been I don't know. I don't really want to break down. It's too soon for me to break down the game, I got to be honest. I mean, I normally would glad to talk to you about that type of stuff. I've not gone back and watched Game 6 or Game 5. That's just kind of how it is. But we'll get to it. I think we got beaten. But I mean, watching Curry from 10 feet away make some of those shots, they were, you know, insane. So I'm very comfortable starting with that and saying they did a good job and they beat us.
With you guys getting this far this year, you know, the Warriors winning it, even the Bucks last year, do you think this maybe impacts the way that other teams go about constructing their rosters? I guess, in other words, do you think the era of the super team thing might be done?
I don't know. I do know that continuity means something to coaches like Brad, historically a great coach, and Ime, you know, an up-and-coming head coach. I mean, I think they really are focusing on continuity. And then you see the Warriors with four recent wins, and you see, you know, back in the day, the Spurs, and you see the Lakers, the Celtics back in the day. So continuity is clearly a good thing. We love our guys, and we're just looking to add on.
When you talk to Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka, can you give us any indication what the dynamic is like generally, Wick? And I'm not looking for anything specific, just as much as how much do you get involved or not get involved in basketball decisions and question who they want to bring in, or do you leave the basketball decisions to them?
Right. It's basically, I mean, I used to be a rower and, you know, everybody's in the boat and everybody has an oar is basically the first thing that came to mind. It's just a metaphor or whatever it is. Which is that we're just on the same page and on the same team. And so my role with my ownership group is to say, what do you need? And go for it. And their role is to say, oh, my God, we need this. We figured out a way to pry this guy away from a team, and here's what we'd have to give up and, you know, all of that. So that I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the strategizing on what players, but I'm hearing the list of players and hearing what it would take and just trying to get my head around what it's going to do to the team, you know, if we're trading a major piece, which we're not, but So anyway, it's my role in that boat is, you know, I got an oar rowing hard, but, you know, basically the role is what do you need?
There's been reports in the past, and I know Brad Stevens has shot them down, but there's been reports during the season that other teams may be interested in him if he were interested in coaching again. Have you been asked, have teams requested permission, have teams asked about talking to, interviewing Brad Stevens as a coach?
I'll answer at least the second one, no. Haven't been asked that. But Brad can speak for himself, I think, much better than on all of that. When I proposed to him to become president of basketball, which it was that direction, I proposed it to him. It took him a day of thinking, and then he said enthusiastically, yes, I don't think anything's changed. But I don't need to speak for Brad on that. I'm very comfortable that Brad is very happy in his job, and he'll let us all know if he isn't.
Okay, there are a couple of other things we want to throw at you, independent of, you know, the playoffs and the way things went down, Wick.
No, now, and look, say throw at me or ask me.
No, so I say throw at you, but I say throw at you because I don't think they're overly controversial or anything. I just think
they throw away, dude. Give it your best.
Okay. Well, so, for example, you know, Jaylen Brown, I think, is first eligible to start negotiating extension with you in the fall. I mentioned this earlier. Is that something that you, the organization, would like to broach with him as early as possible? And I don't, you know, I, from what I understand, it's probably more beneficial for him to wait. But has that even entered the discussion at all yet? Is that something you've discussed?
Yeah, that pitch was just a little high and outside, just a bit outside. But so we're not going to, as Bob Uecker would say, we're not going to swing at that one right now. We're just going to let contract matters, as always, be, you know, between us and the player and the representation and not public.
Okay. And then there was some stuff written over the during the course of the season about the idea of having the All-Star game here in Boston again. It's been a long, long time since. Jones, has it ever actually been here?
It has, but it's been a while.
Okay,
yeah.
It's been a long, long time. Yeah. Is that something you'd like to do?
Yeah, we're going to move it to June or July and then have it. No, we're going to, we would love to have it, and we've talked about it. And I think the willingness of the city and the convention center and, of course, our partners at the Garden and everything, it all has to come together. But we have talked to everybody and sort of said we really love to do this, and I think there's good momentum for trying to get it done. It's not done. It has to be planned out. You have to block out all sorts of space and hotels and make sure everybody else is comfortable. So, you know, it's not something that we can just host in our practice facility, obviously. So we've got a bunch of partners looking at it, and we're talking NBA, and the vibes are good.
Okay, now that I think of it, the team playing as well as it did here down the stretch, and we've had this conversation with you a million times over the years about, is Boston really a destination? NBA players want to go to LA, they want to go to Miami, they want to go to New York, they want to go to those places. Does the performance of the team in your mind at all alter that with regard to attracting free agents? And then furthermore, does it help you at all in the bid to get the All-Star game?
Well, I don't know about the All-Star game. I think they would cycle it through if we really wanted it. They would make it happen, and we do really want it. So that's my prediction or hope, not speaking for the NBA. But in terms of a destination, you know, Ime is a good example, actually. He was a free agent coach, in a sense, right? And he had, I think, 8 jobs to choose from, probably, or 8 to interview. You know, there were, like, 8 open jobs. And we interviewed a few people, other people that interviewed him. I think he told everybody to wait, and he picked us. In other words, so that's a bit of a free agent signing in a way, and it's a coach wanting to go somewhere and win, right? He doesn't want to go somewhere for the tax rate or the climate or whatever. He wants to win as a coach. And so anyway, I take that as a great sign. We do believe, our internal discussions are, that we're a great destination for people in people's minds. The way Ime coaches, the way the team plays, the way the fans support, and the achievement of the team to date, and still work in progress. Still, you can't be accused of going to a team that already won, because unfortunately we didn't. So we're a great, I think we're a destination for people, and we'll find out during this off season and next year's trade deadline, and we'll find out over the next 5 years, because it may take 5 years to build it from here, but hopefully it takes, you know, 5 months.
Okay. I do have one more. Go ahead, Mark. Just real quick, because Wick, I know you said your hands off, and that said, like, would you like to maybe see an emphasis this summer or leading into next season on perhaps addressing the players with a loss of focus in that they feel the need to argue with officials too much? I felt like we saw too much of this during this run. They lose some focus there, or does that ultimately fall on some of the team leaders?
I think that's an email question. I think we all saw that around the league that players were going back and forth with officials. So I wouldn't just single out the Celtics, but I guess I think that that's between Ime and the staff and the players, and we'll go from there.
All right, Jones. Anything else?
Well, yes, actually, you mentioned the fans. Sorry, you mentioned the fans. How did you feel about the fans chanting at Draymond, even in playful fashion? And I guess how did you feel about the Warriors almost using that, Draymond specifically using that as maybe fuel for their fire?
Yeah, well, we invite 19,200 fans in there every night, and they've been there, sold out for years and years, and we love them. To come in and it's an emotional time. And so, that's just part of being a fan in any city. And I've been to all the arenas in every city, and there's stuff that goes on in every arena. So, I mean, we love the fans, and they're actually, Al Horford singled out the fans, repeatedly singles them out. But when he chose to join us back in the day, first time, now that he's back and loving it, everybody loves the Boston fans except the opponents, and that's fine with me.
All right, Wick, listen, it's been a long time since we had spoken with you. I think it was a year ago at this time, really, and we really never connected through the whole course of the season. So we appreciate you taking the time. It was a heck of a run. Didn't end great, but we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, it gave us a new boost for next year, I guess. We're going to look at it as a positive if we can, and we appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot. Wick Grouse back again, joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, the governor, owner, and horse of the Boston Celtics, as it were.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.